Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Yes, a radio show coming from New Orleans in the middle of Mardi Gras. Imagine that. A couple weeks ago on this broadcast, we heard Newt Gingrich in an excerpt from his videotaped and satellited college course from the mid-1990s, Renewing American Civilization, the finances of which were instrumental in leading to Gingrich's resignation as Speaker of the House for ethical questions. Now, this week, we have another excerpt from that course. Just imagine, you could get college credit for listening to Newt Gingrich.
The third is the concept of the absence of rank. I've always talked to, for example, people by first name. The only person I refer to by anything other than their first name is the President of the United States. Because that rank, that is a institutional position so important to the society at large that whoever is the president should be addressed as Mr. President. But I do it for a reason. It goes back to the core of being American. All Americans are equal. All Americans have the same status. As I said, I think, once before in this class, the only dukes in America are in jazz and baseball. We don't have hierarchical structures, and that's very important at the core. Now, that doesn't mean if you're meeting a stranger, if you're meeting an older person, if you're meeting somebody of dignity, you can't use their title. And maybe I'm a little bit nutty in my populism. But I think it's very important for us not to get carried away with this idea that because somebody has a PhD or a law degree or gets appointed to some government job, they're suddenly fancier than anybody else. Tremendous arguments in the 1780s about what to call the President of the United States. So on the one hand, those who were worried about stability said, let's give him a fancy title. On the other hand, those who were worried about the democratic populist nature said, oh, no, you can't call him too much. Okay? And there's a real struggle about, how fancy should we be? How simple should we be? And in general, I would argue that in America, simpler is always better than fancy. And populism is always better than being an establishment.
And he may be a little nutty with his populism. But remember, if you meet him, don't call him Mr. Speaker. Hello, welcome to the show.
Get ready to play Indian, y'all. They don't do this nowhere else but in New Orleans. Here come the wild chapel tutor. Yeah, we the uptown ruler. From way uptown, y'all, in the big 13. And we coming out Mardi Gras morning. Ain't giving no kind of warning. Gonna be the prettiest down in New Orleans. You can see Chief Jolly coming. You can hear his big gang coming. You can hear them coming all over the 13 wall. He shoot Kunafuna, make the ship a Una. No bow, y'all, and he won't be bald. Jolly be hooping and a hollering. Say we gon' meet everybody. Then everybody sing Indian Red. And then we head for the heart of the city. Yeah, y'all, we wild and pretty. We the uptown rulers, just like I said. Sing it. We the uptown ruler, yeah. We the wild chopper tuna, yeah. From way uptown, y'all, in the big 13. And we coming out Mardi Gras morning. Ain't giving no kind of warning. Gonna be the prettiest down in New Orleans. The wild man, he take off running. Spy boss, see another gang coming. Big chief, stop on the avenue. Come running on the double, signaling that it might be trouble. Big chief said, do like you wanna do.
As I dress in my suit, giving haters the boot. Straight up a wild up with my Mardi Gras crew. It's gangsta, probably looking shy and pretty. Chief Jolly little gang showing haters go pretty. From the north to the south, from the east to the west. Chief Jolly and his gang sure know how to dress. So in case you don't know, we ain't fear nobody. Little gang, so never give a shout out to Jolly.
Y'all, but it feels so good. Drumming
through our neighborhood. Didn't see smoking that fire grain. Well, heading downtown towards Tremaine. Yeah, boy, we're going all the way down. Then coming back home to the big 13. Yes, y'all, we the Wild Chapel Tudor. Yeah, we the Uptown Ruler. The way uptown, y'all, in the big 13. We coming out Mardi Gras morning. Ain't giving no kind of warning. Gonna be the prettiest down in New Orleans. Here, come on. Here come the Wild Chapel Tudor. Yeah, we the Uptown Ruler. From way uptown, y'all, in the big 13. Come on. Running, get out the way, tambourine ringing, get out the way, Indian singing, get out the way, oh, Mardi Gras morning, get out the way, give them the warning, get out the way, uptown ruler, get out the way, Wild Chapel Tudor.
From the French Quarter in New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of Le Show. Don't dodge the beads, catch them. Ladies and gentlemen, a member of the United States Senate has placed on hold the nomination of the new head of the United States Army Corps of Engineers. Now, any individual senator can place a hold on a presidential nomination and basically freeze it, stall it. And it's done usually by senators when they care very much about some policy matter that they think the new nominee may not be properly attentive to. So, as I say, there's a new head of the United States Army Corps of Engineers nominated, I guess, by the president. And a senator has put his nomination on hold because of a problem with the Corps. The senator... No, not Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, not David Vitter of Louisiana, not Barbara Boxer of California. Rand Paul of Kentucky. He's holding up the nomination of Thomas Bostick. He loved his staplers. Why would to be the new head of the Army Corps of Engineers? Because he's upset with the Corps' culpability for the flooding of New Orleans and its refusal to acknowledge that it's installed defective pumps in the new improved $11 billion system. No! Rand Paul is expressing his displeasure with its performance, the Corps' performance in Kentucky, where repairs on a dam at a popular lake have taken longer and cost more than expected. Priorities, people. Senator Paul has concerns about many things the Corps is doing or not doing, as the case may be, and he's seeking answers and modified behavior, said his spokeswoman. Yes, Bostick was nominated by President Obama last spring. He had a confirmation hearing last week. I'm sure the Senate Armed Services Committee grilled him on the New Orleans situation. We just didn't see a report about that. News media was busy with Grammys. The core project in Kentucky is long-running repairs to Wolf Creek Dam, which impounds Lake Cumberland, the largest man-made reservoir east of the Mississippi. It's a more than $500 million project, plugging fractures in a rock foundation. If the dam fails, it could flood communities down the Cumberland all the way to Nashville. The Southern Kentucky Lake has long been a haven for boating and fishing, but its water level has been lowered 40 feet during the repairs, which began 5 years ago. The water level dropped to relieve pressure on the seeping structure, just as the safe water level in the outfall canals in New Orleans has been dropped because of the fact that those walls were never repaired, even though those are the walls that failed in 2005, resulting in the flooding of the city. But no, there's a marina owner representing local marina operators at a recent meeting because with the lowered water level in the lake, you know, the marina owners, the boat owners are experiencing reduced income. Nobody's died. Don't worry about it. Priorities, people. As you were.
Let us try.
Aww. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the Olympic movement. Produced by Jim Ebersole Jr. First today, the multi-million pound contract to print the tickets for London's Olympics has been won by an American firm, sparking fury among British companies. Weldon, Williams, and Lick, based in Fort Smith, Arkansas, landed the UK's biggest single ticket order for a sports event. The biggest! Games organizers came under fire over the golden deal to produce 11 million Olympics and Paralympics tickets. The consignment will be air freighted 4,500 miles from Fort Smith to a warehouse in Britain in a huge security operation. The tickets will then be mailed at a cost of $8 per order to arrive at UK addresses in June. British businesses demanded to know why they were not offered the contract. Previous games in Seoul and Barcelona gave the deal to their national equivalent of the Royal Mint. Games organizers, who have come under fire for sourcing much of its $1.5 billion worth of merchandise from the Far East, insisted the games remain good business for homegrown firms. Tony Hallett, one of the UK's leading print brokers, said he did not believe any British companies had been asked to pitch for the contract. "It is typical of our country," he said. Integrity, one of the country's leading print companies, which has provided tickets for championship football games, that is to say soccer games in the UK, and major rugby matches, said they had been asked to print order forms for London 2012, but not tickets. But wait, there's more. One of the London boroughs hosting the Olympics has been warned by counterterrorism officials it is home to a high number of Al-Qaeda-inspired extremists. Council members in Waltham Forest, northeast London, which will accommodate a section of the Olympic Park and a visitor campsite, have been given a restricted counter-terrorism local profile, a CTLP, authored by police and the Home Office. It reported a high-level threat of Al-Qaeda-inspired extremism from males aged between 20 and 38. The individuals of interest to the police are predominantly British-born second- and third-generation migrants from Southeast Asia. There's also interest from a number of Middle Eastern political movements and Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups from North Africa, says the report. The report says there are a number of other concerns, including, quote, perceptions of inequality driven by relatively high deprivation levels, particularly within Pakistani communities, experience of criminality due to high levels of crime, and strong gang culture. That's right, it's a culture. And possible radicalization within family structures. It argues there are signs of, see if you've heard this phrase before, jihadi cool, possibly linked to macho gang culture. It also acknowledges there is growing discontent on local benefits around the Olympics, i.e. the lack thereof. But wait, there's more. The British Olympic Association is telling each of the 560 athletes hoping to represent their host nation this summer they must sign, that is to say Britain, they must sign a confidential 34-page rulebook entitled the Team Members Agreement, or they will not be allowed to take part. The agreement, seen by the newspaper The Telegraph, contains guidelines on everything from banned drugs to political tattoos and athletes who do not follow its strict rules will be punished with fines or removed from the team. Athletes cannot criticize teammates even during the games or at any time afterwards, denigrate sponsors, even those who provoked controversy, sell or modify items of their Stella McCartney-designed official team outfit, attend press conferences not arranged by Olympic organizers wearing medals or a uniform, and, most dire, skip the British Olympic Association's post-Olympic party on August 14th. It also tells athletes they may in future be eligible for induction into a British Olympic Hall of Fame, an indication the BOA are planning to create an American-style Hall of Fame, which they say may be physical or virtual. The Olympics. It's a movement, and we all need one every day. Yes, we are the ticket printing champions of the world. Don't let anybody doubt it. Ladies and gentlemen, the new F-bomb. You may know this. It was widely broadcast and printed, but just in case. An audit of hundreds of foreclosures in San Francisco uncovered one or more irregularities in 99% of the loans, according to a study released this week by the city's assessor recorder, Phil Ting. Let's see what ESPN can do with that name in a headline. In 80% of the loans, homes were lost to people or corporations who lacked the authority to foreclose on the properties, auditors found. In 84% of the loans, the analysts identified what appear to be, quote, one or more clear violations of law, unquote. Well, if you can violate one, why not violate more? And 82% of the loans contained, quote, suspicious activity, including fabricating documents and backdating of documents, according to the study. The auditors say the report paints an accurate picture of the mortgage industry's failure to comply with California's foreclosure laws. No news to anybody who's heard Eve Smith on this subject on this broadcast going as far back as more than a year ago. She nailed it all. And this week also, Neil Barofsky, the former, he may still be in office, Special Inspector General for TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, delivered some news about the mortgage settlement we discussed on this program last week. People are going into the details, even though the actual agreement, as we noted last week, has not been made public yet. But apparently there are some indicators from press releases or other official statements. And Neil Barofsky, as I say, the former Special Inspector General, because a regular one really wouldn't do, for TARP, says the mortgage settlement way down in the weeds says that banks who do principal modifications on first mortgages can, in certain circumstances, be reimbursed for doing that up to 60 cents on the dollar by you and me. That is to say, this settlement, which was designed and which was announced to be, the banks are being made to face the music, in some cases will be financed up to 2/3 by us. Let the victims pay, don't you think? And now, news of our friend the Atom. Addy is here in New Orleans. Are those beads?
No, just loose protons.
Okay. They're nice. They glow in the dark.
Sure.
Seismic risk at the Fuk nuclear plant increased after the magnitude... Really? Oh, yeah. Magnitude 9 earthquake that hit Japan last March, scientists report. The new study, which uses data from over 6,000 earthquakes, shows the tremor last year caused a seismic fault close to the nuclear plant to reactivate. The results are now published in Solid Earth, an open-access journal of the European Geosciences Union. Is that part of Europe that's going bankrupt? I'm not sure. The research suggests authorities should strengthen the security of the Fuk nuclear plant to withstand large earthquakes that are likely to disturb the region. The power plant, of course, witnessed a huge disaster. There are few active faults in the nuclear power plant area. That's a good idea. And our results show that existence of similar structural anomalies under both the Iwaki plant and the Fukushima Daiichi areas, said a team leader. Given that a large earthquake occurred in Iwaki not long ago, we think it is possible for a similarly strong earthquake to happen in Fukushima. That's according to the geophysics professor at Japan's Tohoku University, Dapeng Zhao. Yes, it sounds Chinese. It's in Japan. In December, Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda announced the conclusion of the meltdown crisis at Fuk No. 1, but a former special advisor to the previous prime minister warns the situation is far from resolved and said Fuk has exposed a raft. Wow. Who knew they were floating? No, a raft of serious nuclear problems that Japan will have to confront for years. I would say the crisis just opened Pandora's box. That's the quote from Hiroshi Tasaka, a doctor in nuclear engineering and now a professor at Tama University. He was speaking to the Japan Times, of course. He was one of a select group who glimpsed the secret worst-case scenario document written up by the Japan Atomic Energy Commission on March 25 that was later reportedly quashed by the Japanese government. According to the scenario, the biggest risk during the meltdown crisis wasn't the reactors themselves, but the spent fuel pools sitting on top of them, particularly the one above Reactor 4, which still contains about 1,500 nuclear fuel assemblies, Tasaka said. Unlike Reactors 1, 2, and 3, the number 4 unit was offline for regular checks when disaster struck last year and thus didn't suffer a meltdown, but its fuel rods were in the pool outside the reactor and its coolant water fell dangerously low. Adding to the danger is the fuel pool is now directly exposed to the outside environment after a hydrogen explosion blew off the upper part of the reactor building on March 15th, Tasaka noted. The potential heat from the pool was also much higher than other pools because 204 of the 1,500 assemblies were still new ones temporarily removed from the reactor for regular checks. The crisis has highlighted the dangers of a spent fuel pool. They're outside the preliminary containment vessels of the reactors themselves, according to Tasaka. And those are, of course, more robust than whatever would be containing the pools held outside them. Under the current circumstances, Japan has no prospect of starting up the experimental high-level nuclear waste processing facility in Rokkasho. This means utilities must store their spent fuel assemblies in these cooling pools at their respective reactor sites as a temporary measure. The storage capacity to the spent fuel pools of the nation's nuclear power plants are reaching their limits, Tasaka wrote in a new book. They were about 70% full on average in 2010. Higher at Fukushima. Making matters worse, the government doesn't have any place to permanently store the highly contaminated waste. And they're generating large amounts of highly contaminated waste every day, thanks to the ad hoc system for decontaminating the coolant water. It's a system. Bechtel National is designing and building the world's largest radioactive waste treatment plant for us at Hanford. The $12.2 billion waste treatment and immobilization plant, known as the VIT plant, because it vitrifies waste into glass logs, toasty, will immobilize that liquid waste. Construction began in 2001, but now the Defense Nuclear Facilities Safety Board, you know them, the DNFSB, has rung an alarm bell about the ability of the plant's stainless steel piping vessels and pulse jet mixers to withstand the erosion and corrosion of the radioactive waste during the 40-year life of the facility. See, in 40 years, we'll do this all over again. In a letter to David Heisinger, acting assistant secretary of the Department of Energy, the DNFSB chairman wrote, the board is concerned the project team has not shown the design wear allowances for vessels, piping, and nozzles are adequate to ensure the components located in the black cells will reliably function for the 40-year design life of the facility.
Don't over-dramatize.
Sorry. The radioactive waste is corrosive and contains heavy metals and abrasive particles that could eat holes in the stainless steel in part of the plant that is too radioactive for people to access, the black cells will be sealed and not accessible either.
I can get in.
Well, yeah. You're a freaking atom. In the confusion following the earthquake and tsunami that damaged Japan's Fuk complex, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said it was standing by to help, but a trove of emails posted on its website shows an agency struggling to figure out how to respond and how to deal with the American public, that is to say, our Nuclear Regulatory Commission, while cutting through what one official called the fog of information coming out of Japan. Hey. Everybody's confused. Radioactive water has spilled from XL Energy's Prairie Island nuclear power plant near Red Wing, Minnesota, on two recent occasions. The utility notified the NRC. A 27-gallon leak containing traces of our old friend radioactive tritium.
Yeah, breakfast with him just the other day.
Was announced. That spill occurred 2 days after XL officials told the commission a similar but much larger spill had happened in November. Say it with me. Spokeswoman said there was no danger to the public or the plant's employees. She said tritium was a very low energy emitting radionuclide, and the groundwater monitoring program had detected no increase in the element. Nuclear Regulatory Commission spokeswoman Victoria Mityang says it's not a regulatory concern for us. It does not pose a health risk. All right? You want some tea with your tritium? Or how about some cesium with your noodles? Deadline Naha.
Aha.
Don't do that. In Japan, high levels of radioactive cesium have been detected in noodles produced in Okinawa, apparently because they were made with water filtered by ashes from Fukushima-produced wood. The noodles, Okinawa soba, had a level of radioactivity of 258 becquerels of cesium per kilogram. The forestry agency on February 10th notified state agencies across Japan not to use ashes made from wood or charcoal in cooking if the materials were lumbered or produced in Fukushima Prefecture, Tokyo, and 15 other prefectures following the outbreak of the nuclear disaster last year, even if the wood or charcoal bore levels of cesium lower than the government standard. The cesium contamination of the noodles surfaced earlier this month in testing conducted by the Okinawa government. An ensuing survey found a higher level of cesium in cooking wood that was distributed throughout the same route as one for wood delivered to the restaurant in question. We had not assumed that ashes would be used in food processing when we drew up the standard, said the forest agency official. Ashes happen to be used in kneading noodles and sometimes in removing the bitter taste, or aku, from devil's tongue and wild vegetables. Who knew? A Tokyo Institute of Technology professor received a large amount of donations from engineering firm OCL Corporation before he promoted lenient inspection standards for those spent nuclear fuel casks that the company produced, according to the Mainichi newspaper. Professor Masanori Aratomi was the driving force behind the standards, which favored OCL Corporation. The Atomic Energy Society of Japan adopted the standards for inspections of casks used for transporting spent fuel. The finding highlights, according to the newspaper, campaigns by proponents of the so-called nuclear village establishment to adopt lax standards rather than the national standards to their advantage. The AESJ normally comes up with its own atomic energy-related standards after a committee writes a draft that is then checked by experts. The Society's panel on nuclear fuel transportation casks began deliberations in 2010. They were held at OCL's conference room, and the draft was drawn up by a member of the panel from OCL.
So buy OCL stock.
Good financial advice from Addy the Atom. Ladies and gentlemen, clean, safe, too cheap to meter. Our friend, the Atom.
Friends are calling cause they're falling down. I've joined the circus but I ain't no clown. There's fire eaters and some midgets too. Around the corner right next to the zoo.
call me crazy and it's probably true. At least you call me now, here's a clue. What's black and white and red all over? A newspaper story about a murdered lover. I feel half crazy and I feel half-hearted. Down the well of wishes of the dearly departed. Come to find out we are all connected. Mosquitoes bit me and they got infected. Mardi Gras has come to town. Time to lay your burden down. Hop back in it Tuesday again. Get a midnight call, but to no avail. I got the boat, but I forgot the sail. I'll soon be rowing gently down the stream. Upon the sheets I will lie and dream. When I wake, the sun will shine like madness down on the heads of the drunken masses. Out on the streets with their glasses full, riding in a buggy while the mule pulls. Drivers rewrite the course of history while the local past remains in mystery. Europeans and people of color joining the party that is seeing double. Mardi Gras has come to town. Time to lay your burden down. Hop back in it Tuesday again. Tell me how fat can it Tuesday get? You're on the water with a fishing net. Boil it down and sit at the table. Peel and eat till you're not able. The autopsy showed you were full of fish. Broken heart and a come true wish. Now if fire burns out on the levee and the weight of the world is not that heavy, as when you were a little kid. Now don't forget to pick up the lid. If you went on back, would you change a thing? Wait and see what tomorrow will bring. Mardi Gras has come to town. Time to lay your burden down. Hop back in a Tuesday again. Mardi Gras has
This is Le Show from New Orleans at Mardi Gras time. Thinking about two people lost at about this time of year. One of whom would have been here right now, Mary, and one of whom never was, Dora. More of Le Show after this important message. Some dating services match you by your interests. Some match you by your strengths. But I had a different idea. Why not match people by their genetic weaknesses? Hi, I'm Don Freisleben, and believe it or not, that's the whole idea behind eAllergy.com.
It was like amazing. I finally found someone who didn't need an explanation of why I couldn't eat chocolate.
When he started scratching around that cat, so did I. That's when I knew.
At eAllergy.com, you don't take a battery of personality tests. We don't probe and poke around in your likes and dislikes. Your privacy remains private. The only thing we ask from you is a complete blood workup. Then, using our proprietary algorithms, we find your genetically determined allergies. And the results speak for themselves.
I got cold. She knew not to offer me a wool sweater. You can't find that in a bar.
All I ever wanted in life was a peanut-free house. And he already had one.
If you're sure you're not allergic to anything, good luck with those other dating services. But for the special 20%, now there's a new way to find that true soulmate. Someone whose genes match yours before you even get dressed. eAllergy.com. Take the free weekend scratch test and see for yourself the matchmaking magic of this proven system.
It was the most amazing date. We talked for hours about what happened the first time we touched latex.
I'm Don Freisleben. Make the call or visit us online. You've got nothing to lose but your inflammatory autoimmune response. eAllergy.com. True love is nothing to sneeze at.
eAllergy.com. True love is nothing to sneeze at.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the latest on the big oil along the Gulf of Mexico. The BP thing, the Macondo well blowout. BP, which is now being referred to by the New York Times as the British oil company.
Huh,
that settles that. Has raised its dividend to shareholders by 14%. First increase since that spilled 2 years ago. BP's dividend raised to 8 cents per share. So buy. Legal liabilities stemming from the Gulf of Mexico oil spill continue to weigh on the company's shares, says one oil analyst. BP is, of course, asking Halliburton to pay for all costs and damages resulting from the spill, just to make Dick Cheney squirm. The trial between BP and Halliburton is expected within weeks. BP has so far paid out $8.8 billion in damages and a lot more in those ads telling us to come visit the Gulf. That trial is scheduled to begin February 27th, as soon as the beads are cleaned up. Estimated chance that BP will settle with the federal government before then, according to the former head of the Justice Department's Environmental Crime Section, 70 to 80%. If that settlement is like the mortgage settlement, we owe BP money. The case, if it did come to trial, would be the biggest private litigation in United States history, having already produced 72 million pages of documents. Whatever happened to the paperless society? $4 billion has already been paid by BP by Texas-based Anadarko Petroleum, one of the partners in the Macondo well. Cameron International, the manufacturer of the blowout preventer, has paid BP BP is doing well on this so far. $250 million. Moex, its partner in the well, has paid BP $1.065 billion. BP's estimate of total damages from the disaster, $43 billion. BP has set aside $20 billion to pay for damages.
Huh. Who's paying the rest?
You might ask. And then there's the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
First up, the leadership of the Palestine Liberation Authority apologized last week for the strange welcome UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon received upon arriving in the Gaza Strip. dozens of people threw shoes and stones at the UN chief's convoy as it entered Gaza. No one was injured. In a statement, the PLO executive committee said Palestinians are hospitable people who welcome officials coming to the occupied territories, except when they're not. NBC apologized after MIA put her middle finger up during her Super Bowl halftime performance. She made the gesture and swore during a performance of Madonna's new single called Something. We apologize for the inappropriate gesture that aired during halftime, said spokesman Christopher McCloskey. It was a spontaneous gesture that our delay system caught late. There was a delay in the delay system. Imagine that. Oprah Winfrey has apologized for publishing a message to Twitter that encouraged people to count it in Nielsen ratings to watch her cable channel, potentially influencing the ratings. Everyone who can please turn to own, especially if you have a Nielsen box, she wrote. That was seen by Nielsen as a potentially serious violation of its policy. Nielsen works hard to ensure that its sample is not coerced to watch specific shows or channels. After officials at Oprah Winfrey Network, OWN, and Nielsen corresponded, Winfrey's Twitter message was deleted. I removed the tweet at the request of Nielsen, she said. I intended no harm and apologize for the reference. Yeah, because you wouldn't want those ratings figures to be in any way inaccurate. Sony Music has responded to accusations it was exploiting the death of Whitney Houston by raising the prices of two of her albums just hours after her death on Saturday. They did not say no record company could react that fast. No, what they did say, it was mistakenly mispriced on the United Kingdom iTunes store on Sunday. When discovered, the mistake was immediately corrected. We apologize for any offense caused. The Mormon Church has apologized for a serious breach of protocol after it was discovered that the parents of the late Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal were posthumously baptized as Mormons. The church also acknowledged that one of its members tried to baptize posthumously three relatives of Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. The efforts, at least in Wiesenthal's case, violated the terms of a 1995 agreement the church signed, in which it agreed to stop baptizing Jewish victims of the Holocaust. Will that figure in the presidential campaign? Not if you're putting an aspirin between your legs. Dateline Philadelphia, a spokesman for Philadelphia Media Network, which owns the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, has apologized for the removal of a reporter's story earlier this week from the website, philly.com. It's part of a reversal of policy about reporting on the sale of the company. The Inquirer published a story about developer Bart Blatstein's interest in buying the company 3 days after killing a similar story and 2 days after a company threatened management editors company management threatened editors with termination if a word about Blatstein appeared in print or online or even in personal social media posts. The Newspaper Guild represents reporters at both papers filed a grievance. The newspapers are now agreeing to report on all potential buyers. Please buy. Dateline Tokyo, Japan's nuclear safety chief, said this week the country's regulations are flawed, outdated, and below global standards, and he apologized for their failure when the tsunami crippled the plant last year. He admitted Japanese safety requirements, such as for tsunami and power losses, were too loose, and many officials have looked the other way and tried to avoid changes. The Norwegian Postal Authority, Posten Norge, has issued an apology to the Sri Lankan ambassador in Oslo for the recent issuance of Norwegian postal stamps honoring the Tamil Tigers, the now disbanded opposition group. They're not the only ones. The German Postal Department has apologized over the distribution of stamps honoring the Tigers, saying it was done unintentionally. Yes, we print stamps unintentionally. Please buy. Dateline Fort Worth, a special education hearing officer who fell asleep as he presided over a family's due process hearing, has resigned. Myrna Silver of Dallas, the family's attorney in the hearing, said Larry Craddock slept while she presented evidence and witnesses testified. He was continuously dozing off, falling asleep, Silver told the Star Telegram. If the school district attorney and I would begin to argue about something, he would arouse himself and make a ruling. Craddock has now apologized for his conduct, saying he slept 1 or 2 minutes at most during the hearing, and he's taking medication that causes drowsiness. I'm writing to apologize for going to sleep during the hearing in this case. It was completely involuntary on my part. I meant no disrespect to the parties, unquote, his email. Craddock also said, it is an attorney's duty to wake a sleeping judge. It's your fault. Dateline Montgomery, Alabama, casino developer who has pleaded guilty to offering bribes to legislators, testified he was joking when he proposed having his female lobbyist expose her breasts to a state senator for his vote on a pro-gambling bill. Jurors in Alabama's gambling correction trial heard a wiretap phone call between Country Crossing developer Rana Gilly and one of his male lobbyists, where Gilly proposed a $50,000 bonus for a casino lobbyist, Jennifer Pouncey. I said Pouncey, if she would expose her breasts to a then-senator and let him touch her to secure his vote. Gilly says he never asked her to do that. He apologized for the remark and said it was a very distasteful joke. Pouncey has pleaded guilty to conspiracy, cried on the witness stand when defense attorneys played the taped phone call. I didn't think it was funny, she testified. Croatian President Ivo Josipovic apologized this week over his role the country played in crimes committed against Jews during the Second World War in an address to the Israeli parliament. We need to look into our hearts and to come to terms with the darkest stain in our history. Here I am, standing before the parliament of the Jewish state, and more importantly, in front of people born in Croatia, and with no ambiguity, I apologize and I ask for forgiveness, he said. Dateline Toronto, Ontario, YM Incorporated, the parent company of Urban Planet, has apologized to a mom who was told to stop breastfeeding at their Dixie Outlet Mall store. She was nursing her one-month son inside the discount clothing chain when she said a clerk asked her to stop and then phoned mall security. YM says it's sorry for the incident. The Ontario Human Rights Commission says mothers who nurse in public cannot be asked to stop or to go somewhere else. That is so Canadian. Rosie O'Donnell is taking responsibility for saying she has a mild fear or anxiety around little people on The Rosie Show. Did you know she... After Little People, Big World stars Matthew and Amy Roloff admitted they are saddened by her confession, Rosie took to her Twitter account to apologize. She said, I'm sorry my words hurt you and made you feel sad. They were ineloquently phrased. I apologize and am pained at my own inadequacy. No comment. Children's Hospital of Philadelphia apologized Wednesday for the way it had communicated with the parents of Amelia Rivera, the 3-year-old disabled girl whose quest for a kidney transplant has garnered national attention. In a statement released with the approval of the parents, the hospital said it was reviewing its processes to ensure it was sensitive to the needs of all families. In January, the Riveras said a hospital physician had told them the girl should not have a transplant because of her mental disability. In the statement issued this week, the hospital said, quote, as an organization, we regret that we communicated in a manner that did not clearly reflect our policies or intent and apologize for the Rivera's experience, unquote. That's the new buzzword. How was your experience? After making disparaging comments about recently deceased pop singer Whitney Houston, KFI Los Angeles radio personalities John and Ken have been suspended for a week and a half. The station announced the suspension on its website, calling the comments insensitive and inappropriate. The suspension is effective immediately. During a recent show, John and Ken said Houston had been cracked out for 20 years. John or Ken, one of them, which was it? John apologized for the remarks in the station statement, saying, quote, we made a mistake and we accept the station's decision. We used language that was inappropriate. We sincerely apologize to our listeners and to the family of Miss Houston. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Pete Hoekstra of Michigan has not apologized for the content of a campaign ad featuring an Asian American woman speaking in broken English about his opponent. However, the actress who played that woman has now apologized. Quote, I am deeply sorry for any pain that the character I portrayed brought to my communities, said Lisa Chan of California. She said the role was, quote, and not in any way representative of who I am, unquote. That's why it's called acting, babe. Quote, it was absolutely a mistake on my part and one that over time I can hope that can be forgiven. I feel horrible about my participation and I'm determined to resolve my actions, she said. The Oklahoma Insurance Department has apologized for what it described as an unauthorized draft of an email that contained offensive and unacceptable language while promoting an upcoming tornado summit. Insurance Commissioner John Doak said the situation is highly embarrassing. He apologized to women throughout the state for the language. The email concerning the National Tornado Preparedness Summit to be held in OK City in March included a slang term for women's breasts as it described the person who would win an award. The word begins with T. Hey, we're delicate here on The Apologies of the Week, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we began the program with some sound from the archives of Newt Gingrich. We near the end of the broadcast with very recent sound of, you remember him, Herman Cain, making his latest political endorsement.
And I'm happy that one of the people that's running for United States Congress in the state of Ohio, in a very challenging district, has adopted 999, and I am endorsing his candidacy, is my friend Joe the Plumber. Stand up, Joe.
Wondering how to make your income grow?
Go ask Joe the Plumber.
If you've got questions about the size of the debt, or how come only banks got the safety net, if your query hasn't been answered yet, you gotta ask Joe the Plumber. Joe. He's the one in the know, taking all of your gripes, but don't let it work on your pipes. Joe the Plumber knows about as large as a Hummer. Wish I'd known him back last summer. Joe the Plumber. Been stewing over how the climate's doing.
Go ask Joe the Plumber.
If you'd like to stop all those lawyers suing,
go ask Joe the Plumber.
If your TV isn't getting HD and you wanna see paid movies for free, don't ask Time Warner or NBC. Just ask Joe the Plumber. Joe, he's the star of the show. Feel free to tap into his brains, but don't let him work on your dreams. Joe the Plumber, if he's in a band, he's the drummer. Makes Obama's day an old bummer. Joe the Plumber. Never knew why the sky is blue, or whatever happened to July Crew.
Go ask Joe the Plumber.
He's the average Joe, but with common sense. Call him on the phone or lean over his fence. Can you write him off as a business expense? Just ask Joe the Plumber. Joe, he's the guy in the very last row. He'll always make you think, just don't let him near your sink. Joe the Plumber looms about as large as a Hummer. Wish I'd known him back last summer. Joe the Plumber. Joe the Plumber. Just ask Joe the Plumber.
And just before we close the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, news of the godly. The Roman Catholic Church in England is to launch an inquiry into how it dealt with allegations surrounding a priest who was ordained despite being previously fired for sexually abusing boys at a Yorkshire, England children's home. Last year, the Yorkshire Post revealed how Father Joseph O'Brien was able to become a priest despite his dismissal from St. William's home, and claims that further allegations surfaced after he joined the clergy. He died in 2010 without either police or the regional Catholic diocese ever investigating his activities, despite both being made aware of his history. And now watch the Superbugs, ladies and gentlemen. They're good fun. Greek doctors are fighting a new invisible foe every day at their hospitals, a pneumonia-causing superbug that most existing antibiotics can't kill. The culprit is spreading through health centers, weighed down by a shortage of nurses. There's your austerity. The hospital-acquired germ killed as many as half of the people with blood cancers infected at one hospital, a 500-bed facility in central Athens. They have a mutation that allows them to evade such powerful drugs as AstraZeneca's Merrim and Johnson & Johnson's Durabax. I want to be the guy who names the drugs. Come on. What fun is that? A 2010 survey found 49% of pneumonia samples in Greece are not killed by the antibiotics of last resort. We're not used to seeing people die of an untreatable infection, says John Rex, vice president of AstraZeneca, which is now developing a new generation of antibiotics. That's like something in a novel of 200 years ago. The superbug, according to Bloomberg News, is one among many challenges facing the home of the Hippocratic Oath. The Greek government, confronting another bond payment on March 20th, is trying to arrange financing to avert a collapse of the economy. Partly as a result, the health system is in crisis with life-saving drugs in short supply, just like in this country, and hospitals struggling to pay their bills. Greece has the lowest nurse-to-patient ratio in Europe, one of the highest rates of antibiotic use and abuse on the continent, hindering the attack on the infection. It's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world to the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.490 megahertz shortwave, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want at harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. Available for your smartphone through Stitcher.com. Available as a free podcast, as free as the beads, at KCRW.com. And it'd be just like finding out how fat a Tuesday can get if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. This broadcast is on Twitter. Join the more than 56,000 followers at The Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. I'm throwing you something, mister.